Good to sing. You're good to read, like, Will?
Yes.
Let's pray then, folks, and let's sing some songs. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for this time that we've set aside. We pray that you would bless it and be one of our number. And please, Lord, I pray, attend to the needs of all our brothers and sisters across the country and across the world as they take time out to recharge and to offer up our prayers and praises and our thanks. And Lord, just everything. Thank you for loving us and saving us and providing us so much. Pray you too, Lord, that you would hinder the old devil at every turn, that you would show the folks that it is indeed hard to kick against the pricks, and Lord, show them the right way. Please help us, Father, to be good and faithful in pointing souls to the foot of the cross. Please, Lord, I pray you fight for us and ahead of us as we go on from day to day. And Lord, most of all, we pray for your work to begin. Pray for the cars, and for the house, and for Steve and Ling and Dr. Shine and Frank and Colin and John McGowan. And Lord, the folks that are here, are not here, or couldn't be here. Lord, for Christians, Lord, that slip back a wee bit, Lord, that you'd restore them. Especially in these last days. But most importantly, Lord, that this would be a time of praising and refreshing. Please be one of our number. And Lord, we ask this and our many other private prayer requests, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. There you go. Let me get them. See him. Oh, I brought their own glasses. Mrs. Bradfield, why didn't you tell me? Told me to get the green glasses case. The other green glasses case. It's exactly the same as that green glasses case. With
the enormous glasses under their
hands. They're grand. Right, we're in the wee hymn book. Or the big hymn book, should I say. Yeah, let's do this one. Let's start with 205. 205, the big book. It keeps me singing. Might seem like... you'll know it whenever you hear the end. thank you for your glasses as well. There's just a little bit of extra mag in those that helps me to see what I'm doing. Amen. Let's do 319. Another good one, just a closer walk with thee. If you're able to stand, stand. If you can't, just remain seated. But let's make a joyful noise. This is a good one for you. Just a closer walk with thee.
The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in my own words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbour, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after your other daughter hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I give to your fathers, forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal and murder and commit adultery, and swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, You are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I said in the name of the first, and see what I did to it, the witness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith Lord, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, where you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Sayest thou not what they do in the cities of Jerusalem, Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead the dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and shall burn and shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh, for I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded unto you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline ear, but walk in the counsels, and in the imagination of the evil heart, and went backward, and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and saying them, yet they hearken not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obey not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Prove his perish and cut off from the mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. The Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abomination in the house, which is called by my name, polluted. They have built the high place of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which they commanded them not, now I turned it to my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. They shall bury in Tophet, till there be no place, and the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Jerusalem, from Judah, from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Amen. Amen.
Just noticed some verses there that if anyone recalls the ninth time the Lord came in and chased all the money changers out, in verse 11 says, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. A lot of other things there too. Thank you for the Bible reading. Thank you for the Bible reading this morning. You can accept that on Brother Steve's behalf in his absentia, Norman. Just want to remind everybody too of the little prayer list. The extras were pray for Norman, he hurt his back. Will hurt his back, but it's coming around. Please do continue to pray for Norman's hearing. Will's hearing got a bit better. One of Will's work colleagues, Craig, had a massive heart attack, we were saying. So please do remember him. I take it he needs to get saved, yeah. So please do pray for him. And just please continue to pray for Link and Dr. Shang as they travel in China and should be traveling back home here on Friday the 16th. Please remember that. There's a lot of other stuff going on in the world, but especially in our own country. There is a great struggle going on for free speech. And for freedom in general. So please do be much in prayer. And if there's ever an opportunity where you can stand up and speak up on behalf of God, make sure you do it. People need to know that it's still okay to speak up as a Christian. So please speak up as a Christian as and when you get the opportunity. Monica just celebrated 30 years in the UK. Like a birthday celebration. So 30 years in the UK, my goodness. My goodness. There you go. And I've had her for the last 17 and a bit. There you go. Time flies. Time flies when you're having fun. Almost. Is there anything else you need to add to these? Anybody got any private prayer requests? John or... Yeah. Okay, we'll add that to our private prayer request. We already have them earlier on. So, I think that's that. Glad to have William with us this evening again. And please do pray for his wife Rachel and their children, Lillian and Ellis, and his dad, Reggie. Doesn't matter where you go, there's always someone being saved. So please do pray. Amen. I think that's about that. Nothing else we need to add? John? All good? Okay. Right. We'll have a wee word of prayer and then we will continue on. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we indeed thank you again for your many helps and blessings, for your wisdom, Lord, for your overcoming power. And I pray you too, and thank you for our many answered prayer requests. Lord, we want to leave before you our private prayer requests for William and Will and Steve and John and for Norman and for Monica and myself, and even for Lynn, although they're not here, they still have their private prayer requests as well. And we pray you, Lord, please, that you would grant them according to your will. For that friend of William's, of Will's, sorry, that... had the massive heart attack, for Steve's son and stepson Colin, and getting out of hospital, for all those, Lord, that we know that are lost and need to be saved. I pray you, Lord, for conviction of sin and judgment to come. And I do indeed pray you, Lord, too, for William's dad, Reggie, that you would save his soul, you'd work in the hearts and minds of his brothers too. We really do want to see folks saved. And sometimes it's difficult, Lord, dealing with all the nonsense the world has to throw at us. And I think a lot of it's designed to keep us, Christians especially, on the back foot. I pray you for portions of wisdom. I pray you, Lord, that we would be much in prayer and in reading and studying of your word. And Lord, that you would bring it continuously to our minds. We really do need you. Please look after and speak to Norman's sister, Edith, and his other sister as well, whose name escapes me right now, for my in-laws, Lord, that some of whom need to get saved, and for even on both sides of the Atlantic, and for those that we know are neighbours in the church, for the people that heard the gospel today, and for those that have received gospel tracts, and seen even the big posters that are up around the town from. Please save souls, Lord, before it's too late. Please make people aware of their need, Lord, and of how short the time is. Thank you again, Lord, for this little bit of a shelter from the world and all the fuss in it. And I pray that you would bless this time in your presence, Father. Please help us. Leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's take our big hymn books again, if you would, and turn, there we go, turn to hymn number, there it is there, no that's not it, I lost a hymn somewhere.
It was a 66.
That was my pick. Is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, if we sing that, that means somebody else has missed out. Okay, who has had their hymn missed? You didn't pick one, William, did you? So 66 it is then. That'll be. Hymn number 66 in the big book. That is at Calvary. If you're fit, we'll stand as we sing. If you're not, just remain seated. But make a joyful noise.
Side to soul.
hymn that Sandra picked. Goodness, that is a, never heard it before, but it is a very good, it's a very good hymn. There's a good message to it, a good gospel invitation. Amen. Thank you for your picks. Did anybody choose a hymn that didn't get sung yet?
27.
And this?
No,
why did I not have that one? I did have it, Mark. Wee thing fell out of that. We'll sing that's our closing hymn. Thank you, John. Right. We are going to read, I was going to say we're going to read Psalm 2, but we might read Psalm 1 as well, because it's both very short psalms. If you would like to meet me there in Psalm 1, we'll start with Psalm 1. And we'll read these 20 verses, 18 verses of the scriptures. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time this evening speaking on the subject of bands and chords. I thought that was quite an apt title, given all the bands and chords that were played in them over the last day or two. So we're going to be taking our text from Psalm 2 and verse 3, but we'll read all of these. These are good psalms. Word of God says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. Amen. Bands and chords. That is what I would like to spend a minute or two on this evening. We're in Psalm 2 particularly, but we read Psalm 1 as well. Let's have a wee prayer. Will, if you would you pray for us, please?
Dear Father, thank you for helping us assemble in your house tonight, Lord. We want to know where may say a blessing in our lives, Lord. We'll help our family or any family members that may be backslidden or lost, Lord. May help us and help us to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of the cross, Lord. Often their lost souls, Lord, and that they would go to hell, Lord. Take those mighty apart from the Lord as well, Lord. For the people in the dust, Lord, are doing the drift, Lord, you might convict them also, Lord, bring them to church, Lord, mighty apart, Lord, and save them mighty apart as well, Lord. But for the traffic, for the Christian witness and the Sunday and the car park, Lord, use it mighty apart, Lord, to convict those are lost, Lord. Take those mighty and may witness be set in the city, Lord. Also prepare us for the Christian evangelism session at the train station on the 24th, Lord. Mm-hmm. May we say up the message to those that are lost, Lord. Go straight and gay, Lord. and whatever, Lord, see us those men that pass by, may they stand and be self in you, and may they work peace, pardon. Give us numbers, Lord, especially, Lord. But most of all, be there with us, Lord, as we have a witness against sin, Lord, and degradation as well, Lord. Before we come to the gospel tonight, Lord, give knowledge from the Spirit, Lord. Reach into our hearts, Lord. Examine us, Lord. Mind and partly. Also, help us reason with us, Lord, to make our lives up there and more in tune with me and my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And bless us, care, Lord, and give us a blessing tonight. And send unto us a new Christ centered week, both for this church and for all our Bible believing churches throughout this world, Lord, as well, Lord. And see souls mind saved. For thy honor, for our glory, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. As we read the first psalm, we get a little compare and contrast between the man that loves the Lord and the man that doesn't love the Lord, or should I say the people that love the Lord and the people that don't love the Lord, and how in the endless ages of eternity, even as we read all of this, we see the promise of God for, as he said, the blessed shall inherit the earth, but he said those that hate the Lord shall just disappear like the chaff that blows away when the wind blows. And we have read Psalm 1 and we studied on it not that very long ago, and we may even have strayed a little bit, stepped off into Psalm 2 a little bit, but for a multitude of reasons. First of all, the bands and all the chords that they play, of course, over the past month indeed, and the fact that there seems to be a great push in the world to stretch God's laws so that they encompass, in quotes, a little bit of what people like instead of what God actually said. I thought it would be a good place to stop and to think for a little bit. Anywhere and everywhere in the Bible, and it doesn't matter who you are, the Lord said, if you call upon the Lord, you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. It also says that whosoever calleth upon the Lord, he'll never lose them, never leave them, never forsake them, and never cast them out. In fact, he said, I'll keep you in the palm of my hand. No one will ever pluck them out of there. That's what the Bible says. It also says that if you do what I say, I will bless you. From the beginning of the Bible, right the way from Genesis, right the way through, I will bless you. Now, a lot of people think that the blessings that God offers are a full bank account and being hale and hearty, but we know that is not the case. And sometimes the greatest lessons to be learned are learned whenever we are humbled to a point where we have to say, God, I'm at my wit's end. I need to do things your way. Sometimes that is a blessing too. God wants the best for us. He wants our soul saved. He wants to give us life, eternal life, and he wants to give us life more abundantly. He wants to send angels to minister to us. He wants to save our hearts and our minds from so much of the stuff that's going on out in the world that will actually mark you for the rest of your life, things that can't be undone. God wants to save us from a lot of it. God wants for husbands to love their wives and wives to love their husbands and children to be raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He wants to deliver that to us. He wants to give us even the words on our mouths whenever we go to speak to souls, to warn them of sin and judgment to come, and to tell them of the great things that God has done for all of us. But you know, he says, there's no prerequisite for salvation. You just got to turn up and admit you're wrong and God's right and ask him to save you. But for all of the other stuff, there's a prerequisite. And that prerequisite is normally doing what God asks you to do. One of my favorite bathroom verses is Isaiah 40 and 31. And there is a promise in it. And God says, I will I will help you look, mount up with wings like an eagle. I will help you to walk and not be weary and run and not faint. But you have to wait in me. You have to do things my way. Another very favourite verse of mine is Romans 8:28. That's one of my life verses, I would have to say. And it says that we know that, it's known to us, that all things will work together for good. Normally that's as far as the world takes it, but the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to saved souls, to them that are the called according to God's purpose, doing things God's way in that abundant life. God wants to make sure the families are a safe place to raise children. God wants to make sure that our wives and our daughters are safe whenever they would venture out into the town or onto a train or a bus. God wants to make sure that the elderly and the infirm are respected and honoured out in society. I'm trying to find something bad here that God wants for us, and I'm not doing a very good job. God wants for the New Jerusalem, that 1,200 mile on an edge cube. He wants that liberally populated with souls that don't have a sin nature anymore, with souls that are garbed in his robes of righteousness, with souls that are, what's the word, that have glorified bodies, that will never get old or cold or tired anymore. With eyes, like I think it was Jeremiah said, that with his own eyes he would see the Lord walking upon this earth. With eyes that can behold the God that gave us life on the cross for us without destroying us utterly. Remember, like the Lord said to Moses when Moses asked to see him, he said, Moses, you couldn't take it. It would kill you to see my face, but you can look upon my back. And even at that, Moses was infused with the power of God. And the people down at the bottom of the mount, they were saying, Moses, we can't look at you, but just even that, we reflect a bit of glory. God wants to give us that. The Bible says, and it's one of these promises that just hasn't come true yet, that God wants to make us his kings and priests. He wants to give us this world. He wants to make good on his promise to inherit the earth, to govern the earth. But doesn't the Bible say something about God's children ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 years after the 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation? God wants to save us from literally the suicide path that this world is on whenever he removes any of his influence. God's influence is towards life. Our influence without God is towards death and destruction. God wants to give us all of these things and more. God wants to give us even now in this world, in Philippians chapter 4, like a rubbish bin to put all our worries and cares into. Did he not say in Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. God wants for us to have a rubbish bin for all of the things that worry us and annoy us. Just talk to him about it. He even wants us to be able to skate over a lot of the drama in the world. And we can do that just by thinking on good things. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, or of good report, if there's any virtue or praise in a thing, bear those things in your head, and you can do it. He said, the God of peace will be with you. Not just the peace of God, the effects of being free from your worries, but the actual author of those promises will be with you too. God wants to give us these things. And you know, as a result of these things, when people are making a determined effort to follow God, to read His Word and to put it into work in their lives, crime would drop through the floor. There'd be a huge drop-off in crime. Families would be stronger. Children would be protected from the muck and filth that's out there. Who knows, maybe even the biggest grooming organisation in the country, the British government, would get its act together. Schools would be sensible places where children went to learn their 3 R's, you know, the reading, writing and arithmetic. The STEM subjects, useful things would be out there. There'd be no gender studies. Psychology would be out the door because people would appeal to the God of the Bible that knows exactly what it is we need to talk about and what it is we need to get off of our chest. These are all good things. Murders would drop off. Thefts would drop off. Idolatry would disappear. Adultery would disappear. People would keep their eyes on their own stuff, but they would also look after their brothers and sisters. This would be, I was going to say, it would be like paradise on earth. It pretty much describes the 1,000-year reign of God on the face of this world. Everyone would get a fair shake. Everyone would have enough to eat, roof over their head. You wouldn't have roving gangs of children or even young adults running around with machetes of all things. You wouldn't have to worry about locking your doors. You literally wouldn't have to have a curfew for your kids. And if one of them was out after dark and an adult saw them, they would grab them and take them home. You wouldn't have to worry about stuff. The place would be perfect. Paradise. Why is it that the heathen rage against us? Why is it that the people imagine vain things? Things that aren't true. Things that don't work. Why is it that the kings set themselves, you know what I mean? Like preening peacocks. And they said, let us break their bands and cords from us. Why is that? What is the benefit to society? What is the benefit to individual souls? You know, a Christian has something that a lost person doesn't have. That's God at your right hand. Every moment of every day, the God that taps you on the shoulder and you just feel like putting your hands around somebody's neck and twisting it until their eyes pop out. We have a God that sits there whenever we put our hands on somebody else's stuff and says, remember, that's somebody else's stuff. Do you know what I mean? We have a conscience, a loving, forgiving, empowering, comforting, I'm still trying to find a word for it, enwisening. An enwisening God with us at all times of the day and the night, keeping us right, keeping us accountable. At all times. Why wouldn't you want that? Why would you not want all the benefits of Christianity? From time to time I've had discussions with, I'm sure with each one of you. And we ask the question, why is it people do the things that they do? Can they not see that all they're doing is making a rod to beat themselves with? Or working against themselves? As the Lord said to Paul, kicking against the pricks, injuring themselves by saying, oh, I don't want to do that. Like a little children stamping their feet and having a temper tantrum on the ground. I don't want to do that. But you have to eat your broccoli. I don't like my broccoli. broccoli, it's bad for me. I want McDonald's Happy Meal, no, chicken McNuggets and fries, which are so healthy for you. But that's exactly the way it is. There has been a little jag of adrenaline or a little spurt of endorphins in somebody's head whenever they started down a dark path as a child. And any time they want that jag, they continue down that dark path. Or they re-walk that dark path. And there comes a time in the life of an individual that refuses to depart from that path, that it is so well down, it is a rut that is so deep, that even when they look up, they can't see out of it and don't understand any other way of life. I'm not saying these souls are beyond redemption, but I do know in the Old Testament that many of these souls were condemned to an early death by a God that loved his people Israel and informed them, warned them to wipe them all out. I'm not saying that is the case, because I know of a man that was heavily involved as an activist in the LGBT movement as a youth, and he came out of it spectacularly, Michael Davidson, and he speaks against it regularly, and he's married with children, and they hate him for it, because he shows what can be done whenever you climb out of that rut. I don't know, is it what that people have it in their minds that the only thrills that they get are thumbing their nose at God? I got away with thumbing my nose at God. I thought I got away with it for many years too. But the crushing weight of my conscience soon dissuaded me from that idea. And it brought me to the foot of the cross, and I am thankful. I am thankful that the God that I called upon was still listening to Mark Bradfield whenever he prayed and said, Lord, you know him. And I said, Lord, you know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm a sinner, and the people in the church don't know a thing about me. Please save me. I am glad that God is still in the soul saving business. And it doesn't matter where you are, and it doesn't matter the thrills that you have chased in the past. But they're not doing anybody any good. If you think about, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but the average life expectancy for a practicing homosexual is between one and two decades shorter than your average heterosexual male. That's 20 years. It's often maybe 3 or 4 or 5 decades shorter than a heterosexual male because of AIDS and HIV and who knows what else. Why would you chase these lifestyles? Why would you say, oh, I don't want to. I want to steal stuff. And I want to steal stuff as much as I like. And I'm going to cast those bands off of me. I'm going to steal stuff. And everything's fine. Until somebody else that has also cast those bands off decides to steal stuff from them. And then all of a sudden, it's a TikTok. Or it's a YouTube video. Or it's on the news. Or I'm not going to worry about the bands and cords of marriage. I'm going to sleep around the country. And that's all very well until someone does it to you. As the fellow says, loves them and leaves a trail of broken hearts and destroyed health in the wake. And that's all very well until it happens to that person. And then it's a disaster. I'm going to lie and cheat. I don't want to have those things restraining me. I'm just going to lie and cheat. And it's great when you get away with it, when you get something for nothing. But you see, when someone lies and cheats to you, you know what it's like when you've done nothing wrong. And that's when you have the Lord to buoy you up and to hold you up and to put his arm under yours and carry you through such a thing. But when a lost soul does that to another lost soul, it can be devastating. The way people want to live doesn't work. Somebody might say, well, Pastor, how can you prove that? I turn on the TV. I go for a walk in the town. I drive through the town. I see what's happening on the news, on the internet. I can tell it's not working. When paganism and idolatry is protected in the country, the one country in the world that used to send missionaries right the way across the world. But now paganism and idolatry is protected and supported and financed in the cradle of modern missionary work. You'll know that casting the bands that the Lord God placed on us to keep our heads screwed on and us pointing in the right direction, casting those off does not do a soul any good. People say, I feel imprisoned by the bars that God places on people. No other gods. Is God afraid? Is God afraid that he's going to lose his supporters? Not one little bit. But he is a jealous God, and he knows the value of a soul, and he mourns the loss of a soul. But he's not going to grab someone by the lapels and drag them to heaven if they don't want to go. He knows the value of a soul. And he wants that soul living in him in heaven for the endless ages of eternity, not squealing their lungs out in hell in the lake of fire for the endless ages of eternity, regretting the breaking of those bands and cords from off of them. You look at families that give in to their lusts whenever it suits them. People that give in to their lusts when it suits them. And I will show you a car crash in slow motion happening in front of your eyes or about to happen. I've seen it happen so many times and it's heartbreaking. But all of these souls think they're getting won over on God. I got you. I don't have to do what you say. Other people think, I can do whatever I want. You can. You can do whatever you want. You as a Christian, technically, can do whatever you want and you'll still go to heaven. But if you're really a Christian, you'll not want to let your Lord and Savior down. You will want to toe the line for the God that gave his life on the cross of Calvary for you. Every single soul that slips off into a Christless eternity is a tragedy and it is a huge loss. But it does not make God less. All of those things that are there are not bars to keep us imprisoned. Goodness, they're safety rails to keep us pointing in the right direction. They're protection from the wild animals that live outside of those bars to keep us safe. I can tell you something, friends, there is a very good reason the Lord says that the devil is like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. I don't know if anybody's ever seen some of those YouTube clips where some idiot wanted a picture of a lion without bars or wire in the way, so what does he do? He's actually hunkering down with his arm under the wire, placing the foam where he can take a picture of the lion. And the lion came along and put his big hand on your man's arm. I don't know if he got stuck with those, what do you call them, murder hands that those critters have or not. Ling's cat is about that size and his paws are about that size. And I wouldn't mess with him. Can you imagine what a 500-pound lion's claws are like? And that's the reason God has his statutes. That's the reason God has his commandments. They're to get us from the womb to eternity in one piece. With our minds intact, with our integrity intact, with our souls intact. And to bring as many people as possible with us. And all of those people thumb their nose at God. As it says in chapter 1, that not only do these wicked things, it's talking about the LGBT movement's practices, but delight in them. That broadcast them. Oh, I was with this many men, and I was with this many women, and I did this, that, and the other, and here's the photographs and videos. Nobody needs to see those things. Nobody needs to entertain that information. And yet, and all people delight in it. Maybe the only thrill that they ever get is thumbing their nose at God and knowing full well that they seem to be getting away with murder. And in a lot of cases, that's exactly what they're doing, killing people. Many people in this world, they confuse God's patience and long-suffering for permission. They do. God hasn't struck me dead yet, therefore, God's okay with the way I live my life. That is not the case at all. It's crazy. You know what the Bible says here? The Bible says that the Lord laughs at them. There's another portion of God's word that says that he sees their day coming. The Lord laughs at them. Think, you're not hurting me, he says. I have given you every benefit. Even in communist countries, the Bible is probably more highly regarded there than it is here. Even in communist countries, or pagan countries, the Lord laughs at those souls. Those ones that thumb their nose at him. Those ones that puff up their chests and think, do you know what? I'm a king in this world. I can do whatever I like. Does anyone remember a king we were talking about not that very long ago? Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, I'm the king. I got here all by myself. And just like that, it was all gone. His mind was taken. He was treated like a wild animal for 7 years. And eventually, the Lord said, well, did you learn your lesson, Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar looked up and praised and glorified the God of heaven. And there was never one mention of Nebuchadnezzar stepping out of line or doing something crazy after that. How many people in this world are doing exactly the same? The likes of Trudeau and Macron and Biden and Jacinta Ardern down in Australia and New Zealand direction. The WEF and all of these people across in Europe. The woman at the head of Germany. You know who I'm talking about anyway? All of these people say, we're the kings. We can do just whatever we like. You know what God said? Jesus said. He said, you can't even turn one hair in your head black or white. You can't even add a cubit to your height. And you know what he said? If you can't do the least of these things, why in the world would you set yourself against God? I'm joining two verses together there. But if you can't do the least of these things, you're talking about a God that holds the whole fabric of the universe together. Every single atom that's joined to another atom is only there because God commanded it to be. And someone's gonna thumb their nose at God and think that because they can order the deaths of a few million people, that somehow that makes them, puts them on a par with God. And then you think, I'm God. I can do whatever I like. It doesn't matter whether a man is a prince or a pauper, a dictator or a derelict. It doesn't matter. Each and every one of us has a severe problem, and it's called sin. And whether you're a churchgoer, whether you're saved, whether you're going to heaven, whether your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or whether your constant friend and companion is a cutthroat razor and it sees fresh blood every single night, you are going to suffer the consequences of sin, which means the grey hairs will come, the wrinkles will come, and someday, no matter how much surgery or how many vitamins or how many exercises you do, you're going to stand in front of the God that called you into being. And He is going to say to you, Christian, what did you do with the life that I gave you? That's what he'll say to the Christian. And we'll tell him. And he'll probably say to us, well, Mark, I'm glad you did what you did, but here's all the other things you could have done. And too late to do anything about it, but that's the way it is. But to the lost soul, there's not going to be any of that. The lost soul will stand naked in front of the great white throne of judgment. And the books are open, the Bible says, and all of their works will be loaded out, read out, or made they'll be made aware of them. And then all the laws that they have broken from God's word will be read out, and then they'll be weighed one against another. And this is where the lie of the devil comes in. Our good deeds will be weighed against our bad, and then we'll be let down. That's not going to happen. The Lord will say, because you broke my bands and my cords so many times, and you never appealed to my Son as your Savior, you are going into the lake of fire for the endless ages of eternity, where your worm dieth not and the flames are not quenched forever. How is the breaking of my cords and bands working for you now? God doesn't say those things laughing. In fact, the Word of God tells us that he takes no pleasure in the death of him that died. He says, wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. The Lord would love for each and every one of all of our transgressions to be wiped out, and that will only happen when a soul repents of their sins and trusts in Christ as their Savior. But until that time, people are going to thumb their nose. And people are going to indulge those men were called? Lewd fellows of a baser sort. They're going to slake their basic instincts. They're going to slake their lusts upon the blood and the flesh and the money and the power and all of the things that the devil has to offer, and he has them to offer. And there will come a day. There will come a day when every single one of those souls will realize that all of the pleasures that they ran after were not worth it. Had a wee taste of that about 4.5 years ago. Even as a Christian, all of the things that I get a kick out of, fixing computers, cycling on my bike, being in the church and preaching the gospel, fellowshipping, contenting with souls at the door, couldn't do any of them. Even my favourite, and will probably have to be one of the old Star Wars movies, and I would always get a kick out of that. That would be like my Wizard of Oz film. Nothing. The only thing that kept me at peace, kept my head screwed on as I ran that thin line between here and eternity, was knowing that I was saved and being glad of the opportunity to serve the Lord. And going over a chapter of a memory verse whenever the fever dreams were coming, and that settled my mind and allowed me to go to sleep. That's all that counted. My salvation and my service, and the verses of scripture that I had rattling around in my head. It was God's bands and his cords. It was those things that he had given me that helped me. What does a soul that doesn't have any of those things have whenever they are at the edge of eternity? And that is why it's so important that we still listen, and we are still bound by those cords and bands. There are many in the Word of God that just tell us to tell others about Jesus. Whatever way you can, tell them. Remember the demoniac of Gadara? The crazy loon that had left himself open to demons giving him huge strength. It was unbeatable. Once he got himself right with God, once the legion was cast out of him, and everybody came and found him seated and clothed at the feet of Christ in his right mind, he wanted to go with Christ. Who wouldn't? What did Jesus say? Go back and tell your folks what great things God did for you. These bands and cords that are mentioned in Psalm 2 will save your life, will keep your head screwed on, will keep you pointed in the right direction. And someday, whenever this life is over, and it could be over tonight, the Lord could call us all home tonight. He'll say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." At first he'd say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That's what God wants to say to everybody. But that's on us. That's entirely up to us. It's up to us to choose, even as Christians, to follow what God says in his word, to be a good example and to show the world, the flesh and the devil, that God's way is the best way. And for those bands and cords that seem to restrict so many, I was going to say they're almost like a suit of armor around us. They're two wheels that will keep us going straight and level as long as we stay on them, and they'll keep the wild animals off of us. And it's there for a reason. It's there to save our lives and keep us right until we meet Christ face to face. Don't ever look to subvert or circumvent God's teaching. They work just fine. They're simple and straightforward. Just keep them in mind and keep them in your life. And it will do you and the folks around you the world of good. I keep asking this, but when was the big revival in the UK? Was it about 150 years ago?
No, I think it coincided.
Was it the late 18th?
Just before the Industrial Revolution.
Late 1800s, was it? You look at the country that we're in now. I honestly believe that we are still reaping the benefits, the blessings of that great revival 150 years ago. Even though we are fighting hard against it, and look at the shape of our country, we are still reaping the blessings of that. You imagine what you as a Christian, running on those rails that the Lord has set down for us, protected by those bars that he has surrounded us with, what effect you could have in your life and even beyond that, just by living for the Lord and doing what he says. Don't ever forget the Lord's bands and his cords. God bless you, and thank you for your patience and your long suffering this evening. Amen. All right. I think we have a hymn to sing, but we... Hymn number 27, if you would like to take and turn there. As we sing our songs, we used to give an invitation. You don't have to come up to the front, but if for whatever reason you need to pray as we sing, whether it's the first hymn, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, you pray. If you don't mind singing on, and if you're still praying, we'll pray with you afterwards. But in the meantime, if you're able, stand with me as we sing hymn number 27, The Old Rugged Cross. thank you for your Bible reading and hymn picks, your fellowship and good time and attention. Pray you have a good week. The Lord answer your prayers according to His will. And look forward to seeing you again soon. You'll be much in prayer. There's plenty to pray about. If you can't think of anything, all you got to do is turn on the news. Amen. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a brief word. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your many helps and blessings this day. Even, Lord, for a word from a stranger in the street. I pray you, please, that you would see us safely home, back at the next appointed time, and let us not forget your many lessons, Lord, just eat this one this evening, or indeed any that may have come to mind. Don't be done with us, Lord. Keep working in our hearts and minds and lives, and the hearts and minds and lives of those about us. Please save souls. Love you and thank you, Father. Amen.